2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he set at meat. There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. The ointment was so precious as was equal to a year's wages. Amen. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? They knew how precious it was. You know, there's some folks sitting around holiness churches, they ain't aimed to do anything and they don't want you to do nothing. I mean, it makes them mad if you do something. Amen. They don't intend to do nothing themselves, and they don't want to be showed up for what a low-down tightwad they are. Amen. So they don't want you doing nothing either. Praise God. But this woman didn't pay no attention to it. Amen. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whomsoever ye will, ye may do to them good. But me ye have not always. She has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial. For her, poured out. That's my title. Secondary to it would be pour it out. Hallelujah. I was 16 years old 48 years ago. Brother Gerald Green was 16 also. Two little teenage boys crawled in the back of Brother Bert Jackson's 40 Chevrolet pickup truck. It was a step side when they didn't call it a step side. Amen. It had a Masonite homemade camper on it, with boards to set on each side. It was a forerunner of the church bus. We was glad to catch a ride to get to go to church. We rode 20 miles that day to Salem, Arkansas. Sister Jackson had an appointment at a little holiness church there. And Brother Green and I discussed on the way over which one would preach first. And you know what? They wasn't a jealous bone in either one of our bodies. He said, you preach first. I said, no, you preach first. He said, no, you preach first. And I said, no, you preach first. Amen. Have we got anybody here tonight, young man, 16? Anybody hold up your hand? You're 16 years old. Stand up, Josh. There's one, 16. Amen. Look at him. I wasn't as tall as he is, but I was as skinny as he is. Amen. Any more 16ers? here tonight. Amen. Well, you can get an idea of how we looked. Amen. As we rode in that 40 Chevrolet pickup truck to Salem, Arkansas. You can sit down, Josh. Thank you, son. Amen. And we preached the first time. There was a lot of things. Incidentally, Gerald won that argument. I had to preach first. I had me a message in the 5th chapter of Luke where Jesus borrowed Peter's boat and preached out of it. And because Peter obeyed Jesus and let him preach out of his boat, he caught a whole boatload of fish later on. It didn't take me much more than 5 minutes to preach my hour message. Amen. On obedience to God. Hallelujah. It was a start. Amen. And I had made my commitment a long time back. Well, 2 years. That was a long time back then. Amen. I said, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll give up everything you want me to give up. I'll say what you want me to say, Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. Amen. Just fill me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And He did. Fill me with His Spirit. Hallelujah. That day I begun very shakily a ministry. At the age of 16, I began to be poured out in the service of God. I might could have done a lot of things. I don't know. On the other hand, I might not have done anything. You see, I was nothing to start with. If sometime or other I get busted down to nothing again, I'll say, praise God, this is right where I started. Amen. You can't hardly bust a fellow when you start out with nothing. Amen. Hey, amen. He can take all kinds of humiliation because he didn't have nothing. I didn't have one white shirt. I didn't have one two-piece suit. It took a while before I got one of them. The first shirt I bought, Brother Oakley, it wasn't white. It was more striped than that one you wore this morning. Amen. Mr. Nimnick didn't want me fingering around on the white shirts because he was afraid I'd get them dirty. And I was too. So I bought me a striped shirt. The first one. I didn't buy me a suit coat or a sport jacket. I didn't know to. I just bought me a little old short gabardine-like jacket. Amen. And the brightest necktie I could find. It hung in Mom's closet for a long time. If I had it back, it'd be right in style. It's came in style 15 times in the last 48 years. Amen. And I wish I had it back. Praise God. Big wide one. Glory to God. Oh, yes, I was dressed up to preach with a pair of gabardine trousers and a striped shirt and a widest, loudest necktie. Amen. And a blue coat, waistcoat. Ah, yes, I was a preaching. Amen. I was beginning to be poured out. Oh, praise God. Lives poured out. I got the news this week that Brother Dale Ward had died. Brother Dale Ward is Brother Randy Webb's right-hand man. Brother Dale was working on remodeling the bathrooms 2 years ago when I was down there. He's always working around the church. If he wasn't working around the church for Brother Randy, amen, he was working on the youth camp with Brother Mike Roberts. Amen. And seemed like he always had time for me. When I came to preach, he'd come and get me. and take me through the mountains. Dale was a preacher's kid. He was Brother Rex Ward's son. Brother Rex Ward went on to meet the Lord a few years ago. He still lived way up yonder on the ridge, high on the mountain. Amen. Next door to his mother. I've got a sack of sermon outlines in little notebooks. A whole sack of black notebooks I bought down south of Abingdon while I was down there last fall. Amen. I didn't buy them. Brother Dale bought them for me. Amen. He asked me what books I had by Borum, and he brought me The Mountains in the Mist and wrote inside it how he appreciated my ministry. Brother Dale was 44 years old. Amen. Brother Dale was working around the church the other day, and he went in behind the church where the creek runs, and the refuse from all the people who live up the creek washed down the creek, the cans and the rags and the junk. And so he was out there pulling that junk out of the bank of a creek. And some little kid in the Christian school there looked out the window and saw him laying in the creek. Brother Randy Webb hurried down the hill, and they gave him what they could of artificial respiration and pumped his chest. But there was no chance that Brother Dale, they thought he had a heart attack and tumbled off the embankment. He was in the water partially and had water in his lungs. But Brother Dale, who would put his apron on in Richland's camp meeting and find a place in the kitchen and work. Amen. Brother Dale, who worked right beside Brother Mike Roberts, wasn't his youth camp, but he was helping preachers, helping men of God. Amen. He bought all my books that day and gave them to me. Because you could take at this particular gospel bookstore, you could take a lot of books down and they would give you credit for them. If you had too many and want to get rid of a bunch of books, they'd give you credit. Then you could go back in and shop later and buy books on your credit. And he bought some $17 worth of books on his credit and gave them to me. And to Sister Collins' chagrin, that sack of preacher's outline is still on the floor beside my lazy boy chair. I already read The Mountains in the Midst, and I looked at what he wrote on the inside of the lid. They had his funeral yesterday at the age of 44. Now I want to tell you something. Dale Wards are not born every day. Preacher's friend and church's friend, camp meeting's friend. I mean, you got to pump and pry, amen, to get anything out of the general run of the mill. And then they'll do just exactly what they have to, and maybe just a little less. Amen. But you always saw Brother Dale around the church doing things, helping the pastor, filling the gap, praise God, poured out. Amen. He had a disability of some kind, and he got his Social Security at the young age of 44 in December. Dale would have an income and plenty of time to do his favorite work, help Brother Randy Webb, help a school, help Brother Mike Roberts, and help Brother Ralph Horton to have a camp meeting. He was there. He was on the spot, poured out. When others whined and said, why don't they do this? Boy, if we ever learn who they is, we'll hang him by the thumbs on a sour apple tree. Amen. But we got all kinds of people around church that say, why don't they do this? And why don't they do that? And why don't they do something else? Hey, God brought it to your attention so you could do something about it. Amen. And then there are those that get jealous because somebody does something. Who's he think he is? Who's he making brownie points for? Amen. Yeah. Well, this woman, it didn't matter to her. Amen. She was there too at the house of Simon the leper. She elbowed her way through the crowd some way. She bought that precious box sealed with wax, filled with one of the most precious ointments of the day. She brought it. And without a moment's hesitation, she broke that seal off that box. Amen. And without a moment's hesitation, she poured it upon the body of the Son of God. And you'd be surprised at the people that murmured that day. You'd be surprised at the grumblers in the crowd that day. The summation of what they said was, why all this waste? Hey, don't you think it's time we learn that what we expend on the body of Christ is not wasted? That's all we save. That's all we keep. That's all we have for the future. Amen. And the church is the body of Christ. Amen. Oh, you say, preacher, you just haven't had a lot of hard knocks in the church like I have. Or you wouldn't look at it that way. I'll tell you what your trouble is. You're just so full of sin and rebellion and bitterness that you can't stand yourself and nobody else either. Amen. Hey, give it up. It ain't worth it. Hallelujah. Pour your life out for the glory of God. Amen. What I could have made and what I could have been and what I could have had is inconsequential right now. It's nothing. Praise God. When I courted that little 19-year-old brown-headed, brown-eyed girl in Granite City, Illinois, some 43 years ago, I told her when we was about to get married, we may not have everything we want, but I said we'll have everything we need. Oh, there was those years pastoring little old shotgun churches that I bought the groceries. Because when she made the list, she knew that I would buy what I could afford and mark the rest off that we could get along without. And so for years, I bought the groceries because we didn't have a whole lot. But then we didn't have to diet neither to lose weight. Praise God. Huh? Come on now. Praise God. Hey, we didn't have a whole lot in those days. They called me the little preacher. It's been a long time since anybody said that about me. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. I looked a little older because I had a receding forehead. Amen. A receding hairline. Amen. So, in a revival in East Alton one night, little girl sit down by Sister Carl. They sat with her every night, one on each side. She looked up at her and said, what's your name? She said, Fay. She looked up at me and said, what's your daddy's name? Amen. Yes, we was on the evangelistic field together, praise God. When Kim was 3 weeks old, we took her on a revival meeting all the way to Lindsay, Oklahoma, 60 miles the other side of Oklahoma City. D.L. Parnell was a pastor of the church. He's that preacher that in war times fixed his old 36 Buick up where it would burn kerosene. He wound a copper wire, a copper gas line, around the exhaust manifold and run it into the carburetor with a cutoff that he could start the Buick on a gasoline solution in a day when gas was very rationed and you couldn't get it. Amen. He'd start his Buick on gas till he got the manifold warmed up and got the kerosene hot, and then he switched on the kerosene and burned kerosene in a six-cylinder Buick during war times. Amen. D.L. Parnell. He's the first one I heard to sing that song, "If the road that you travel becomes filled with thorns, and your heart is filled with trouble till you can't carry on, well, I wonder if lately in your heartache you try to walk down your pathway with God on your side." D.L. Parnell. Amen. He was pastoring the church where Oral Roberts got healed as a stripling of a youth of tuberculosis. It was that same group of people that prayed for Spindly Oral Roberts. His uncle said, "He'll never amount to a hill of beans." Amen. D.L. Parnell, he's the one that had bought an old hearse and turned it into a gospel vehicle to haul tent poles and tent chairs and a tent in. Amen. It didn't have any brakes, but he knew how to drive it without brakes until one day he came upon a roadblock. And he was going downhill and couldn't stop. He always put a good set of air horns on every vehicle he had. And this old ambulance, this old hearse, he had a set of air horns. And he opened them up and they cleared the road for this ambulance that was coming through. They didn't know it was D.L. Parnell on the way to revival meeting, praise God. They cleared the road for him. Hallelujah. There was a revival out there when Kim was 3 weeks old. She was practicing for singing at the Abundant Life Tabernacle. She sang all night long to the top of her voice. She screamed all night long as she tuned up to become a preacher's wife herself. Hallelujah. We didn't have any home. We didn't have any trailer. Amen. Those days, churches didn't have PA system or nothing else. We was lucky to have an automobile. And we had one. I had a 56 Chevrolet car that me and Dode Jones had put together. The frame off of one and the back off of one and the front off another. And took three cars and put them together. And I bought it from him. I helped him rebuild it and bought it from him. And I was driving it, Gary, when we took $200 to our name and a long ways from home, very little credit, we shopped for a trailer in Oklahoma City. Amen. And we came out of that revival pulling a 35-foot L car house trailer. Amen. Brand new. Buying that 56 Chevy like a little red wagon. Praise God. God had intervened for us. Praise God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Amen. You talk about the good times, I've had them. You talk about the bad times, I've been there. But there were so many good times in 48 years of preaching the gospel. Amen. Dale Ward was laid to rest yesterday, 2 o'clock, 44 years old. Poured his life out. Couldn't do enough. Could I say tonight, We just got one life to give. We just got one chance to do it. What if this one lone woman had tarried, waited, hesitated? Her name would have never been called in the annals of future gospel preaching. But tonight, I read her story one more time. Because she was poured out. What's a year's wages worth today? How much does a man making $20, $22 an hour at Ford Motor Company make in a year today with a little overtime? Huh? Glory to God. Some say 40, some say 50. Amen. Strike a happy medium and say that woman's gift to Jesus was worth $45,000. It don't make any difference. She just had one chance to do it. Just one chance to be poured out. Amen. I wonder who will replace Dale Ward. Oh, they ought to be a half a dozen come up in his place. But I'm afraid they won't be one. Because some people are irreplaceable. Amen. Who'll rise up in his shoes to take the preachers around the country like he did me and show me the mountains, show me the churches. Take me to those good places to buy things that preachers are interested in. Amen. Oh, yeah. He took me to the flea market at Abingdon. And I spent so much time in there that he and Brother Webb was sitting on a pew beside the door waiting for me. I came out. I was just a preacher away from home. Amen. But somebody cared. We got to have caring people to do the work of God. And if we could, Jamie, we need two or three to get together on this job. Because the Bible said two are better than one. Praise God. Always ready. Always looking. Always doing. Always extending the hand. Amen. He didn't know what kind of books I had. He said, you like Borum? I said, yeah. What all have you got? I said, I don't remember. He said, have you got the mountains in the mist? And I said, no, I don't think I did. He brought it to me. Amen. All inscribed inside how I appreciated my ministry. 44 years old. They buried him yesterday. Who's going to fill their shoes? George Jones had a collision with an abutment in Nashville, Tennessee. He's critical in the hospital. Amen. A few years ago, he wrote a song, Who's Going to Fill Their Shoes? But we in gospel circles remember other songs that he wrote, like Old Brush Arbor by the Side of the Road. And have you ever drank the cup of loneliness with him? Amen. Who's going to fill the shoes of the self-sacrificing people that give and give and give and don't care that they ever receive again for what to give? There's plenty of room for folks like that around the Church of the Living God. The Odie Creek bombs in the Full Gospel Tabernacle. Ah, oh, he was cranky and temperamental. Amen. But he told me, Brother Collins, don't think anything about it. He said, it's because of the way I was raised. He said, Cud took me in the coal mines when I was 12 years old to work. And he said, the first day back in the coal mines, he said, I got sick and vomited. It was more than his frail constitution could stand. He was an orphan, pitched from pillar to post. He hardly ever knew which home would be his. That was Brother Creek Bomb. Brother Setzer remembering. But he saved the full gospel tabernacle. Thousands and thousands of dollars. Because he fixed things. He always had a bunch of tools at home. He had boxes full of bolts and screws. And Odie Kriegbaum could fix things. There ain't nobody ever rose up at the tabernacle to fill his shoes. All his people made fun of his work and grumbled because of how he done it. He done it. Amen. He got it fixed. Whether it was a bathroom or a hinge on the door or a little painting job that needed done, Odie was there till his last days, varnishing, painting. If Odie Kriegbaum was still alive today and young and vibrant like he once was when he retired from Armco, he always considered himself still an employee at Armco. The paint wouldn't be peeling off, amen, for months on end of a full gospel tabernacle to the shame of those that go through its doors. But we just ain't got nobody to take their place. Ain't nobody that feels the calling. Ain't nobody that feels the necessity. Ain't nobody will pay the price. They've got other things to do. They're self-involved with selfish things. But this woman took the best thing she had and poured it on the body of Jesus. If you men don't rise up, I pray God raise up a woman. Amen. There's some that can do things. If you men don't rise up to do the work of the Lord and take care of the house of God, amen, it don't take very many. I pray God raise up a woman to take your place. Sandra back there, she's got some tools. She's got a belt that's got tools in it. Amen. She can do things that Roger can't. Amen. If we ever get her started around the church, it'll be a sight. Praise God. How much she'll get done. Amen. Yeah. We need some folks that'll be poured out for God. People that live a life of prayer. People that intercede. People that intervene in prayer. Hallelujah, to hold up the hands of Moses so the battle can be won. We need Aaron and her. Amen. Sometimes we can spell her, H-E-R. Amen. We need them both to hold up the hands of the body of Christ. Because you see, what we do for the church, the time we spend in the church, the time we expend in the house of God is not wasted. Jesus said, let her alone. She's come to anoint my body to the burial. Hey, 15 places in the New Testament it speaks of the church, which is His body. The church is a body of Christ. Amen. But nowadays we're afraid we'll do more than somebody else. We're afraid we'll do more than our fair share. But here's a woman when nobody's doing anything for the Son of God who's about to die. She presses her way through the crowd. Excuse me, please. She's carrying something very precious. Excuse me, please. Excuse me. What in the world is she up to anyhow? Excuse me, please. Women ought to keep their place. Excuse me, please. And then she stops right over the body of Jesus Christ. We've got all kinds of people say, why don't the church do this? And why don't the church do that? And why don't the church do something else? Well, who is the church anyhow? Amen. Hallelujah. It's like in one cartoon, there's a group of little old guys started tracking the enemy. And after a while, amen, they found out they was going in circles and woods, and they got to looking at the tracks, and it was their own tracks that they was following. They said, "Boys, the enemy is us." Amen. Hallelujah. We need to realize that the church is us. Amen. It is we who will do the praying, if there's any done. The world could care less if we live or die. Oh, there's once in a while that some sinner, in order to gain brownie points with God, will do a little excess for the church because he's got a guilty conscience. Amen. But by and large, the ones that's going to do the work of the church is you. Yes, you. And me. Amen. You and I will do the brunt of the toil. You and I are the ones to do the sacrificing. You and I are the ones who will be written down in the annals of church history for others to talk about tomorrow. Boy, I remember so-and-so, what he done. What will I leave behind? What will I leave behind after I leave for worlds unknown? What will I leave behind? Let's stand and let's pray. Amen, Father. Move, O God, in every life and every heart. Challenge us, Lord God, to rise up. And for the sake of revival in the body of Christ to be poured out. Poured out freely and ungrudgingly. Giving our all for Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. What were you doing when you was 44 years old? God called Dale Ward home. Pulling the bottles and cans and junk out of the creek bank behind the church on King Mountain. Might be just as great a reward doing that as anything else. When I was 44 years old, I was giving my best years to the Highway of Holiness Church. And about 20 people was voting no every year. They was trying to make my job easier. So they voted no. It sure shored up my confidence. But I'm here to tell you it didn't make any difference. I just elbowed my way through the crowd and poured out some more of my life for the kingdom of God. Amen. Since I've been here, I've been to Romania 3 times, the Holy Land some 6 times, the Philippines 7 times, and China twice, Communist China twice, besides a lot of other travels, at my own expense. And I took an offering before I left to give to the saints. When I got over there. Amen. Yes. We need some men and some women that without a second thought will pour their life out for the glory of God. We got enough griping. We got enough murmuring in the crowd. Why wasn't this soul and given to the poor? Jesus said, let them alone. They've anointed my body to the burial. Let's gather around this cross that stands before us, that looms over us. The cross on which Jesus died when he poured out his last drop of blood. And let's take that cross tonight and say, Lord, take me, mold me, make me, shape me. What you'd have me to be. Amen.